St. Francis de Sales is known as the Doctor of Charity because of his great liberty in the service of God and his great commitment to the welfare of souls, which was translated not only into pastoral ministry as a bishop, but also into his great writings, which he produced on behalf of souls that he directed and souls that he preached to. And in this particular formulary for the Mass in the extraordinary form, we read first of all from the letter, second letter of Blessed Paul to Timothy. St. Paul is counseling Timothy on how to be a good bishop, and he exhorts Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season, to rebuke and to entreat, to reprove in all patience and doctrine. And he warns Timothy that there will be a time when people will be itching to hear all kinds of things but will turn away from the gospel to fables. And of course, this is in the apostolic age, and yet there's really nothing new under the sun. We find ourselves in an age where people are itching to hear everything but the truth. And isn't that the way human nature is? The way God planned things is that we should subordinate our desires and our passions to the will and commit the will to God by adhering to the truth. But oftentimes we're looking for people to tell us lies to confirm us in our sins. And this has always been the difficulty in every age. And our spiritual life, to a large extent, is an effort to overcome these things. And so in the gospel today, our Lord warns his disciples that their light to the world should bespeak the truth of God, and that they should never lead anyone astray from the truth and from the law of God. Well, St. Francis de Sales followed this path as the bishop of Geneva. He was assigned there during a period of time after the Protestant revolt, and the area in which he was working was filled with Calvinists, and so he was actually in a great deal of danger in his pastoral ministry. When he first arrived there, he lived in a fort. He didn't even live in the bishop's palace. He lived actually in a military installation because it was so dangerous there, because the Calvinists were rabidly anti-Catholic. St. Francis went out among them and he preached the gospel. He produced a number of tracts, which are published by 10 books under the title Catholic Controversies. And these were his defenses of the Catholic faith against the Protestant heresy. But at the same time that he was promoting these writings among those who had separated themselves from the church, he was also visiting the poor, regardless of whether they were Protestant or Catholic, and he was taking care of those that were living around him, visiting home after home, taking care of the sick, doing whatever he could to exercise the corporal and spiritual works of mercy on behalf of souls. And he did a tremendous amount of good. He brought many, many, many souls back to the faith and to the grace of God. And St. Francis de Sales did this in spite of having in his own personality some character traits that were very difficult. He's known as a very meek man, as someone who is very gentle in spirit with everyone, and particularly with those souls that he was responsible for. But it didn't come to him easy. He realized that this was part of his spiritual task. It was part of his own sanctification, and it was part of his pastoral duty to souls to try to bring them back to God and to do it at the cost of his own ego, his own likes and dislikes. And we could learn from St. Francis de Sales in the day and age in which we live, in which we are challenged so often to react against the culture, which is anti-Catholic and anti-life in many respects, where we find ourselves sometimes living more or less alone or with relatively few people, perhaps, that think the way that we do. Or perhaps we're just living, you know, with our family, and we have a lot of people in our family who are away from the faith, and we're trying to live an upright life and to preach the gospel, both by words and by actions. We can learn a lot from St. Francis de Sales, who practiced charity towards all of those for whom he had responsibility. And he has a passage, and I want, before I read this passage from, it's actually from a book written by Jean-Pierre Camus, who was the Bishop of Belley. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but he was a contemporary of St. Francis and a friend, and I think St. Francis was also his spiritual director. So he has he records in this book called The Spirit of St. Francis de Sales, many things that St. Francis said and did. And this is St. Francis de Sales, who was a very vigilant bishop, a bishop who was no nonsense and didn't let things go by and didn't leave abuses uncorrected. He was a good father who was involved in his diocese and in the lives of his priests, and he made sure that things were done the right way. However, he said this, this is what Bishop Camus records. He says, "Perhaps the most favorite of St. Francis de Sales' mottos was, 'Do all by love and nothing by constraint.' Indeed, it was the mainspring of all of his rule for directing others. I have heard him say many times that it is a tyranny abhorrent to both God and man to force the human will. He could not tolerate that absolutism which insists on obedience, willing or unwilling. Those who love to be feared fear to be loved," he said, "and they themselves are more afraid than anyone, for whereas other men fear only them, they fear everyone." How often I have heard the bishop say, "There are no galley slaves in the royal vessel of divine love. Every man works his oar voluntarily." Wholly in line with this principle were all his orders, which were given as persuasions or entreaties. And in all things concerning spiritual government, he endeavored to treat persons as God and his angels treat them. That is, by means of suggestions, inspirations, illuminations, and prayers. He calmly stood with the bridegroom at the door of the heart, knocking and gently urging that it might be opened. If successful, he joyfully entered. If refused, he waited patiently. Once I complained to Francis of the opposition I ran into in my efforts to do good in my diocese. "How presumptuous you are," he said. "You want to fly on the wings of the wind, and your zeal endangers you. Do you want to be more than God and bind the wills of those whom he has left free? You cut and slash as though the wills of all your children were under your control. But God, who holds every heart in his gentle hands, has a different approach. He endures resistance, rebellion, and even opposition, which hurts his Holy Spirit. Nevertheless, he continues to breathe on them his gentle inspirations. While men cry out, 'Depart from us, we will not follow thy ways,' our guardian angels are also patient. And though we may reject God, they never reject us. Now, what better rule can you as a bishop adopt for yourself?" And again, I need to emphasize that St. Francis himself did not allow things to go unaddressed in his diocese. This is what we experience very often in our families, in society, and unfortunately sometimes within the church, with very serious problems that involve sometimes the common good, very often the welfare of souls, the scandalization of the young or the destruction of people's innocence, these things go unaddressed. Of course, Francis de Sales would never do that. But in this time, which is so difficult, in which we have to be a light, as our Lord says in the Gospel, to in the darkness, and salt in this tasteless earth, we have to change hearts. And there's nothing that's ultimately going to, you know, really change in the world in which we live unless we change hearts. And so as we see our fathers in the faith, our bishops and our priests and fathers and families sometimes commit their own neglect and sins, we should not be so quick to think that we've got a simple solution to a very, very difficult problem and a very deep and a very profound and critical need for the conversion of souls. Ultimately, souls need to be converted, and we have to be an instrument of that conversion for them by our own transformation, by our own growth in the spiritual life, by our own willingness to give up our egos and not surrender to frustration and anger and all the rest. There's a great deal that we could learn from a humble but very real and sincere father like St. Francis de Sales. Sometimes we like to think that the solutions in our world are very simple, that if we just did certain things, you know, that the bishops would just excommunicate the politicians, which probably they should do. I mean, Archbishop Burke makes it very clear that these politicians who flagrantly disobey the church and promote abortion and all this should not be receiving Holy Communion, and that the ministers of communion, whether they are priests, bishops, or just extraordinary ministers, should not be giving them communion. But that isn't necessarily going to change anything unless we change, and unless we are instruments of God's grace by our own conversion and our own appreciation of the charity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Fructum ventris tui.